leave churches? Why do you think people leave churches? I think there are a number of ways that people leave churches, both for good and for bad reasons. The good reason to leave is to be sent out to serve in another place, isn't it? We've seen that recently with Heather and Adam. They spent 2 years with us practicing their ministry, trying things out to see what they're good at. And now we've sent them out to Elstonwick and Caulfield. And we're being like God in this instance. We're passing on a good gift that he's given us, sending Heather and Adam out to St. Mary's. And we've done the same, haven't we, with Garrett, Roy, Camille, Andrew, who've all served in our youth ministry here and gone out to serve in other churches. We ought to be proud of this and strive to keep on doing it. But another way that people leave churches is just to kind of gradually drift away. They come less and less. They care less and less about God's mission and purposes through his church. And this can be not so good on our behalf, especially if they never get a phone call from one of us asking how they are, trying to find out if something has happened that we don't know about. And often you might find that people in this position say that they feel really hurt by St. Thomas's. But as well as listening to whatever they say they feel hurt by or have been hurt by, we have to ask them if they still believe in Jesus, God's only Son, our Lord. And do they still believe in the importance of God's church? Or here, for example, here's the number one reason why clergy usually leave churches. Okay then, let's not change anything. Can you turn that off? I don't think click. Oh, no. Go back. Thanks. Another reason why people leave churches is because they think that somewhere else is better. My friend Reese was telling me about a guy he met last week at City on a Hill church in the city. I think it's the kind of groovy church to go to. I don't know because I've never been there. And this guy said to him, hey, I'm really glad I came here. This is such a better church. He'd left his local Baptist church in Werribee to migrate into the city, to our City on a Hill. Why was it better? Well, because in his mind it was bigger and louder and the band was better. And there's kind of something tragically wrong about this, isn't there? The irony was that Werribee Baptist actually is a good church that's sending people out from Werribee Baptist to train at Ridley College, where my friend Reese teaches theology. So despite him not realising this, you can see that this guy's opinion didn't really impress my friend Reese, who was actually teaching quite a number of people from Werribee Baptist. Or maybe you can relate to this. I'll have the small church with the high sense of belonging, openness to discussing faith and involvement in the wider community, and hold the young people. Actually, make that a large. It's a kind of older version of the same attitude, isn't it? I'd like to have a church that just suits my particular preferences the best. Turn that one off. And then sometimes people leave churches because they have a fundamental disagreement about belief. In many people's minds, this is why people normally leave churches. They think that Christians are always splitting up because they can't agree on anything. But in fact, it's one of the least common reasons why people leave a church. Sadly, the biggest reason, I think, is personal preference. What I think will suit me the best. So I want to convince you this morning that there are basically two categories of people in relation to the church. There are the stickers and the splitters. There are the stickers and the splitters. And, of course, I want to convince you to be a sticker who's confident that we have everything we need here to serve God through St. Thomas's. Now, the reason John was writing this letter was because of a crisis of confidence amongst people in the church. And this lack of confidence was caused by an influential group of people leaving the church because they had a different understanding of who Jesus is. You can see this at the start of the passage. John writes, "Dear children, this is the last hour. And as you have heard that the Antichrist is coming, even now many Antichrists have come. And this is how we know it is the last hour. They went out from us, but they did not really belong to us. They went out from us, but they did not really belong to us." Not only did they leave the church, but they actively taught a different message about who Jesus was. Later in the letter, John refers to those who separated themselves from the church and says, "Dear friends, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. This is how you recognize the Spirit of God. Every spirit that acknowledges that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. But every spirit that does not acknowledge Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you have heard is coming and even now is already in the world." And as John said earlier, has actually left, is really the group of people who have left the church that he's writing to. And this group continued to try and influence those remaining in the community that was founded by John, influence them to accept their different teaching. So John writes, "I'm writing these things to you about those who are trying to lead you astray." Now, the effect upon members of these churches was to undermine their confidence in their church and in the message about Jesus that they'd originally received. So I wonder what your level of confidence in St. Thomas's is like. I wonder if you feel that there are bigger, better churches out there, or that there are smaller, more intimate churches out there, and that somehow we're being left behind. I wonder if you've ever had the experience of having your confidence in something that you were really good at severely dented. I love watching golf on TV. The rest of my family can't understand why. And I remember watching Nick Faldo, who at that stage was one of the greatest players in the world. This is quite a few years ago. I remember watching him line up those little 3-foot putts about that long and then just consistently hit them right of the hole. He was a world champion and he couldn't hole a 3-foot putt. He just completely lost his confidence and he kind of got worse and worse. You could see him on the TV, you could see the kind of sinking feeling in his stomach when he stood over the top of that little putt. In the midst of it, someone convinced him this technique was wrong, that he should cross his hands over and, you know, kind of sort of do this. That he'd, it kind of helped him briefly, but then eventually he just looked even worse. for about 5 years, he didn't even come close to winning a tournament. And somehow, he had to reconnect with what he knew at the beginning. And remember what it felt like to be able to just effortlessly put the ball in the hole. Well, that's a little bit like what's happened to the church that John writes to. A large group of people have left their church and formed a rival group that keeps on telling those who are left that they need to change their understanding of who Jesus is. And so then they've lost confidence in their church. So in writing the letter, John's most basic concern is to give them confidence again in what they believed about Jesus. And he wants to remind them that this message about Jesus is carried by the church. It's carried by the church that listens to the apostles. And it isn't found anywhere else. The apostle John, who had seen Jesus, who had touched him, says to them, "As for you, see what you have heard from the beginning remains in you. If it does, you also will remain in the Son and in the Father." And this is what he promised us, eternal life. See, there is eternal life in the Jesus whom he has proclaimed to them. And there is not eternal life in another version of Jesus. John proclaimed to them the real Jesus, who sent from the Father, who has the right to command us, who shows us our sins and purifies us from our sins and leads us to be different from the desires of the world around us. And John's desire is to give them confidence that they have eternal life through believing in the real version of his Son. He says this near the end of the letter. He says this is the testimony. God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. This life is in God's Son, and it's in his church, because our church carries the testimony that is true and which gives life. You don't need to go to a bigger, better church to find it. You don't need to go to a smaller, more intimate church to find it. Our church carries the message about Jesus that brings life. There's new life flowing out of that message going on all around us. And it isn't in better music. It isn't in more people. It's in the attitudes and the concerns of each of us, isn't it? You have to look hard to see it, this new eternal life, don't you? Because it's in small things that are not obvious. It's in a prayer, or a phone call, or a small act of kindness, or in thinking about what I like, thinking that what I like in church isn't as important as what you like. It becomes obvious in your forgiveness of my harsh or unthoughtful words. New life, eternal life that comes from the message about God's Son isn't shown by buildings or by groovy music or by more and more people our own age. No, eternal life is shown by love, isn't it? That's John's basic message. He says it over and over in the letter. Eternal life is shown by love. And there's plenty of room to practice real love if you stick with God's church, because it's full of people like you and me. So I want you to hear this basic message again, where John says, this is what he promised us, even eternal life. And I want you to think again about what you look for at the heart of our church. Do you feel confident that we have that life from God in our church? Because if you do have this confidence about what is at the heart of our church, then you'll be a sticker and not a splitter, won't you? You'll stick with St. Thomas's because of the precious message and the eternal life that is amongst us. And deep down we have this confidence about the message and about our church because God teaches it to us by his Holy Spirit. John says, you have an anointing from the Holy One, and all of you know the truth. I do not write to you because you do not know the truth, but because you do know it, and because no lie comes from the truth. And the opposite position is equally clear, isn't it? Who is the liar? It is whoever denies that Jesus is the Messiah. Such a person is the Antichrist, denying the Father and the Son. No one who denies the Son has the Father, and whoever acknowledges the Son has the Father also. So I want to ask you about St. Thomas's. Are you a sticker or a splitter? Because the reason for staying put is not that you've always been here. It's not that you're proud of our style. It's not that our seats are more comfortable than somewhere else or that there's glue on them. The reason for sticking with us is the message that's at the heart of our church that connects us to the Son of God and the eternal life that he brings. I wonder if you ever worry about us, like seriously worry about St. Thomas's. I don't mean kind of be concerned and pray. I mean worry to the point that we're kind of losing it in some way, that there's something fundamentally wrong. Or do you feel confident that we have everything we actually need to serve God through St. Thomas's? Well, what I'd like you to do is I'd like everyone who's confident that God has given us everything we need in the message about Jesus that's at the heart of our church, everyone who feels confident about that, to stand up with me and pray a prayer of thanks to God. Let's think on what is at the heart of our life together here. This is the testimony. God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. Dear Father, thank you so much for our church, and that at its heart you have put this testimony about your Son. And thank you for the eternal life that flows from this amongst us. And may we show this in small acts of kindness in many and different ways, this week and next week and into the future, so that many people might come and experience that life amongst us for Jesus' sake. Amen.
Let's remain standing as we encourage each other to be stickers, to affirm together what we have believed, what we've heard.